Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the pat-downs ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of the pat-down. We at my house working like a motherfucker trying to get it ready for Thanksgiving. I'm here with Dion, Chris, and what's your name behind the camera? Harrison. Harrison Ford is with us today. So, we're going to talk about some real shit from race, and this time Chris took it like a white boy. And we got
meaning,
funny.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Took it like a white boy.
Took it like a white boy. And we talked about some real shit, y'all, that we think everybody should be talking about to bring everybody together, because we need more people fucking outside of their race. That's the name of this episode. Fuck outside your race.
I was going to go the ER episode.
Okay.
The ER spot.
All righty. That's it. Stay tuned after the music.
Better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. Miss Pat spit the truth, spit the real fact. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. That's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty, but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin down. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talking about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. You waste your time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this a taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone, on your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and gon' repeat it.
Right, another episode of the Pat Down, and we still here working on my house, because you know we do 2-3 episodes in the same outfit. That's how we save money and keep them from coming out to my house, wasting their fucking gas money. How y'all doing?
Good. You,
I'm great. I'm in a great mood today.
Are you?
Yeah.
I am too. Me and Dion was talking over the weekend about Colin Kaepernick. Is that his name?
Kaepernick, if you're from the South.
Oh, Kaepernick, if you're from the South. You know, Kaepernick just went to my hometown and tried out.
The Atlanta practice facility.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go to the Atlanta practice facility, but he changed it the last minute on their ass.
Yeah. He doing what most black people do. Fuck that shit. I'm going to the place closer to me. Meet me over here, motherfucker.
He was wearing a Kuta Kinte shirt and he ran away. He said, I'm going over here.
And some people was talking about that Kuta Kinte shirt. I was like, he don't give a fuck. Do you know who Kuta Kinte is?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Do you know who Kuta Kinte is?
No, he doesn't.
Of course
he
doesn't.
He's like 21.
Harrison never seen Roots.
Yeah.
You don't know who Kuta Kinte is? Come right here and tell these people on this tape you ain't never heard of Kuta
Don't
Kinte.
Do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, come on right here. Come on.
I believe this is white shaming.
That's why you get people that don't look like you so you can educate them about your people. So look right there in the camera and say I don't know who Kuta Kinte is.
Say, my name is Toby.
Get your ass off my motherfucking pillow, Toby. Boy, you miss a foot for real, no.
I don't know who Kuta Kinte is.
Get your ass over.
Get back. This is why you're behind the camera.
God damn it.
He do not know Kuta Kinte.
Fucking white people, right, man. Dion?
Oh, Chris don't got a little blackness. The motherfucker be eating collard greens at Thanksgiving.
The crabs in a barrel.
I watched.
He's pulling the other white man down.
He's pulling the white man down.
Why the fuck you don't know about Kuta Kinte?
That lightning, your brother.
I watched Dolomite.
Fucking shame, your brother.
Watch Dolomite and Boys in the Hood.
You watch Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
Beat your dick with cocoa butter. You the shit.
What do you think about Boys in the Hood?
I loved it.
It was great.
I thought it was a great movie. Yeah.
Ricky!
Yeah.
Before we go to Boys in the Hood, we got to finish talking about Kaepernick. So Kuta Kinte is... Tell him who Kuta Kinte is.
Put your phone down. Pay attention, boy.
Kuta Kinte was the
main character. Excuse me, guys. I was talking to the white kid.
You ain't shit. You
what happened when you get a little blackness in your life?
Get a little power, you start abusing it. Motherfuckers are dirty. Kuta Kinte is the main character in the made-for-TV movie Roots, which is a like mini-series. It's like 12 cassette tapes long. This big-ass fucking long.
It lasts
long
for 12 years.
It's like a documentary slash movie series.
That most black parents fucking scared the shit out of their black kids in the 80s and made them.
I remember those tapes were as heavy as encyclopedias. Those fucking, that series is heavy as fuck.
Isn't it the most watched television, most television watched series of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's long as fuck. It's like 36 hours.
Didn't it come on every day?
Yeah, it's super fucking long.
Man, my mama had us watching that shit. And I remember saying, I don't ever want to see white people.
You need to go to YouTube, Harrison, and type in Roots and see if you can watch some
clips.
His name was
Toby. He was kidnapped from Africa.
His name was Kunta Kinte.
I mean, I'm sorry. His name was Kunta Kinte, the African name. And a white man brought him over here and wanted to name him Toby. And so he was like, I ain't hearing that shit, white man. Go on with that bullshit. Y'all ain't got no motherfucking season on your food. So he kept trying to run away. So eventually they cut his foot off. They cut his toes off. They cut his toes off first. First, they whooped his ass, and he was still running. Then they said, okay, we cut this nigga toes off to fuck up in equal liberty. And that didn't work, so they just chopped the fucking foot in half, and then he couldn't run no more. Because it's hard to run with a stick.
This is what?
Equal liberty.
Is that his taxes?
No, that's his balance.
That's the Walmart version of the equal tax joint. Oh, that's Equate.
What the fuck is that?
Equate. It's pretty close. Pretty close to Equate, goddammit. So they fucked up his foot. And,
you know, the Equate, where it's the center of the
earth. That's how we got Roots.
At Equator.
All right, so I don't really know. So I messaged Dion. I was like, I don't know anything about this. Can you explain it to me? Because like, if I'm looking at this just as a person who doesn't really know what's going on, and the owner's argument is like, this guy, I don't want a circus on the team, and then he shows up to with wearing a Kunta Kinte t-shirt,
which is Black History.
You just go. Isn't he causing more? Like, can you explain?
He's not causing.
But
shit.
Can you explain exactly what happened, Dion? Because I don't really.
I
know
think white that. America looked at Kunta Kinte shirt like if he was a white player and he showed up with a rebel flag, a Confederate flag. So that's how they looked at it, like as disrespect.
Sure.
But how is it disrespect when Kunta Kinte is a part of our Black history?
Well, he's not. That wasn't a true story. It was just.
That was a true story.
Roots is not a true story.
There was they act out all them ass whooping for nothing.
Yes.
What the fuck are you showing that Kunta Kinte shirt on?
Wasn't
for?
It based Captain on a book?
Well, Alex Haley wrote the book Roots.
Yeah, it's based on
Kunta
a book.
Kunta Kinte was real, though.
He wasn't a real person.
He wasn't?
No.
It's fiction.
No. It's not a.
I'm tired of people lying to me.
I don't
fiction
think
isn't lying.
I don't think.
Mariana, I got to ask.
I'm
Gary
pretty on. Sure Kunta Kinte wasn't a real person.
Why are we? Why are we having this discussion without Gary on?
But anyway, so the Colin Kaepernick situation, they were never going to give him a job anyway.
Okay.
True.
To which he already knew,
okay.
Because true. He won a lawsuit saying you guys have been colluding against me. Ever since I opted out of my San Francisco.
I can hear the kid. Hold on for 1 second. I can't hear the kids, but I got to ask you a question. Can you come in here for a second and tell us if Kunta Kinte was real? Barely what?
Because they figured out that Alex Haley, some of his stuff about his life is not, and Roots is not actually the truth. It's based on another man's African narrative about his family.
Can she come be on the microphone?
Can you come in here for
she's
a second?
She's five
please?
Fucking steps away.
Come in 1 second, please.
Come on, we trying to see them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, you learn shit on here. Then they told me Kunta Kinte run real. They told me you the fastest track star in the fucking world. That's what I do.
Who's they?
I didn't fucking know.
Here.
Get the microphone. Can you just tell us real quick about Kunta Kinte? Because I thought Kunta Kinte was real.
It's debated because they figured out that Alex Haley, he pulled some of that stuff from another man's narrative about his family life. So some of that stuff in the Roots is stolen from other people. And they don't
know.
It's
a bunch of, it's like a nigga, it's like a barbecue. And everybody sit around and tell stories. And somebody just write the stories.
Oh. You're talking about Dolomite.
No, like this other man had really written a book about his family lineage, and he stole that from him. So it's kind of like some of it is from the other man's life that he took. So they don't know how much of Alex Haley's roots is true and how much is not. And then he did his own additional research about his family tree, but they don't know how accurate that is because people were kind of just telling him what he wanted to hear.
Was the book fiction or nonfiction?
It's supposed to be a nonfiction book about Alex Haley and his ancestors.
Okay, I thought it was fiction.
It's supposed to be about this like real events. So some of it is debated about how much of it is really true.
It was not all of it was.
When they changed this shit, they were just practicing them ass whoopings on Roots. My mom made me
slaves actually got beat. So
like that's a
but
real.
But they made me watch. They made me watch 7 days of ass whippings, and they weren't real.
Some of them really were. Like the other part was based off this man's real family history, and that was real. But then some of it was just like stuff that might not, it's just stolen. It's stolen from other people's lives, but it's real stuff that happened to people.
But it's still black shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
like
who
12
foot was
slaves.
Cut off? Toby Kunta Kinte or another nigga?
Toby and Kunta Kinte are the same person. You did not
watch
Roots.
Well, not according to this fiction and shit.
No. No. Remember, because his name was Kunta Kinte and he was
so
like.
Is Kunta Kinte a real nigga? A real person?
Supposedly.
I don't
Toby is supposed to be a real person. Yeah, it's a
you
it's
know,
one
I
of his ancestors.
I now that you think about, who the fuck gonna come? Oh, Toby was a white man name. He gave
yes, mm-hmm.
Right. That
he
was
changed.
Yeah.
He beat him till he
yes,
was a slave
he
name.
Beat him till he changed. You did not watch Roots. I don't. I swear
I did
you
watch
didn't.
Roots. Yes, we did on a black and white TV girl in 1979. Scared the dog shit out of me because that's how we got whipped.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So,
her life is a slave narrative.
do you know anything about the slave who mailed himself from
what's his name?
Alabama?
Box Jackson?
Box Jackson.
Box something like
you
that.
Heard about him?
I have, yes. Yeah, rings a bell.
He was telling me about it.
He mm-hmm. moved, he mailed himself from some part of the South to Pennsylvania so he could be free, I
yeah,
think.
Huh?
Googly D and so
that's real.
And didn't they start like having to inspect the mail because other people?
Yeah, because yeah. What happened was that's how they was gonna get a lot of nigga free. But he went on a fucking field trip. Hey, I got free from mailing myself, and I'm like, why the fuck you tell everybody? He turned into like a activist,
his name
abolitionist,
an abolitionist. Mm-hmm. And he just told a fucking secret. So every other nigga that tried to get mail, they was like, no, return the sender.
Well, they still were able to get away with it in a lot of cases because abolitionists would run the mail.
Jack in the box.
I don't know
name?
What it's like box.
Say slave melt himself in the box.
Yeah.
Slave melt himself. Melt himself.
In a box. Yeah, but some slaves still got free that way. They just like, because abolitionists started working the mail, and so they
Henry
just wouldn't
Box
check.
Henry Box Brown.
Henry Box Brown, there it is.
So funny.
1815 to June 15th, 1897.
Yeah, he wrote a whole
Virginia
story.
Virginia slave
about
who escaped to freedom at the age of 33 by arranging to have himself mailed in a wooden crate in 1849 to abolitionists in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a short time.
He burnt his hand so he can get out of work and went and jumped in that box. And I don't, who the fuck mailed him? He said a friend or somebody mailed him. But I remember him because I was reading it the other day, and he was saying they had the box all upside down, the eyeball swole up and everything.
Oh, no.
But he said, somebody said, I wonder what's in this box. And said, one time some white men were sitting there and they flipped the box over so they could sit on it. He was like, whoo, he was happy.
Oh.
I was like, nigga, if you'd have broke wind, you'd have got your ass beat. Thank God there wasn't no farting back in those days.
No.
What?
Nobody farted before 1932.
No, it couldn't have been.
The Great Depression caused all
farts.
And
it took him a while to get there. He didn't, it wasn't an express mail like it is.
Yeah.
He literally had to get on a couple horses, white people backs, and I don't fucking know. How they got
really?
There? Yeah, they was all
it took
was
weeks,
the train and everything,
holy
and
shit.
All he had was bread. Can you imagine him having to take a shit in that?
Yeah, because he would have had to if he was.
He didn't eat shit. He had a little water he sipped on.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm just glad he wasn't a snorer.
That's a good point. Yeah. That would be so terrifying. I couldn't imagine. Like, not only are you cooped up and like that, but just the fear of getting caught for weeks, the physical
that just
discomfort.
Tells you how shitty slavery is.
Yeah,
you're the first nigga to mail yourself, not knowing how the fuck that's gonna go.
Man, because what if they'd have stopped you in another fucking
like,
slave?
Yo, you know what I'm saying?
Slave place. Anything else? Knowledge you can drop on us
about what?
Slavery.
You know, black people.
Colin
stuff.
Kaepernick.
Yeah.
What about Colin Kaepernick?
What do you think about what Colin Kaepernick?
What do you do?
You saw the workout that he.
Oh yeah, that was right. That's good for him.
Because they were trying to set a trap for him.
Yeah, it was a whole trap.
They were never going to get that man
there. And then I bet you the next day it would have defamed him, being like, "Oh, he can't play. He weak. This, that, and the third." So he moved it just so he can prove that you cannot write the narrative that I am not ready for the NFL. That I don't still have my arm.
So what was? Let me ask. What? Why move? What was the big deal about moving it?
Because where they were trying to have it at, it was at
it was
the practice
session.
Facility, and that's like 45 minutes from Atlanta, and. This is the Falcons practice facility in general. And so it's 45 minutes from Atlanta. And in order for him to be a part of that one, he would have to sign this waiver to say that he'd never sue the NFL.
Okay.
Right. And so then he'd also have to, he couldn't train his own people. He'd get this random he just get like a guy that he'd be throwing the ball to,
okay,
that he wouldn't have known, and he would have, it would have been like a 2-hour lock to do all of that, to do the workout,
okay.
And there was this black guy given to him by the NFL,
Hugh Jackson,
yes,
the former coach of the
who I don't like,
Cleveland Browns,
but he would have set up the whole workout for him, okay. So he would have had no say about the workout and none of his people to help him do it. And he was like, well, this could be a trap because you can give me somebody who can't catch, somebody who will, you know, slow down when I throw, right, when I throw long and make me look bad, right? And then I don't know what type of workouts you're trying to have me do. You can have workouts that, you know, aren't good for me, and you without
workout look,
huh?
He looked good in the drills that he ran himself.
Yeah. So he did close that out. They moved it to like a high school where the journalists could all have their cameras, their phone cameras.
Yeah, because he didn't want you to be able to be like, oh well, he wasn't that good, and then there's no camera evidence.
The NFL narrative was, is we are going to give this man an opportunity, but they were on some bullshit from the very second they said they were going to do it.
Yeah,
they didn't contact Colin Kaepernick.
Until
or his people before they decided that they were going to do this. Okay. So they sent out to some reporters, hey, we're going to do this thing. Be on the lookout. We're going to make this big announcement, right? They sent that to reporters before they told Colin Kaepernick that they were going to give him a tryout. And I'm using quotes.
And then they didn't tell him to a Thursday. And then they were going to have it on a Saturday.
They never, ever have special workouts.
Special works out on Saturday. You always get a special workout on a
Tuesday
because Monday you get
all
the teams get Mondays off. Tuesdays are days when you come in to try out people. Wednesdays, Thursdays, those are all Fridays, Saturdays. Those are all busy days. And Saturdays is a
pretty much to round it up that we knew that they was never going to get Kevin up a job because Kevin is never going to form to what they want. Y'all can say what you want to say out there. He's no good. But hey, motherfucker, it's a lot of white boys out there. And I said white boys playing rat to this day that ain't no fucking good. Give me a few Chris.
Tim Tebow came back too many times. Yeah. Tim Tebow got
Nick
three
Fong,
chances.
Jesus, Nathan Peterman.
Jesus, yes.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, read it.
Josh
now, who's
Rosen,
who's
Mitchell Trubisky.
Shit?
I'm naming them all.
Yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Whoever that nigga is.
The dude from Chicago.
The dude
Ryan
from
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He done played for 16 fucking teams. Mm-hmm.
And y'all still giving him an opportunity.
Blake Bortles? But I don't know what y'all thought.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yes. And are they playing today?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me that this 30-something-year-old black guy.
It was never about his skill.
Look, you're going to tell me this 30-something-year-old black dude or this Kaepernick ain't good enough to play in the NFL. Motherfucker, if half of these white boys out there that throw like they motherfucking Ray Charles can play, truly motherfucking Kaepernick can play, if you was being fair. But let's be honest, they're not being fair because you know why? They scared he's going to continue to kneel. And then you got these people out here saying it's all about the soldier. It ain't all about no motherfucking soldier.
No.
It ain't all about no money either, because they don't give a fuck if you come or go, because the NFL is gonna be here regardless. So when you get through being mad at them and you burn your jersey, they wait till you bring your dumb ass on back. They don't give a fuck.
So what do you guys say about the argument that, like, we just don't want this distraction? This person is going to bring a ton of media attention and cause a lot of drama that a Blake Bortles isn't going to cause.
I say do it.
But there's people out here who've literally murdered people. There's whole rapists in the NFL. We don't ever say, they're distracting
us. How many times has Roethlisberger been accused of violating bitches and he's still in the NFL?
And he straight up wear Crocs with no socks. That's offensive to me.
Here's the thing.
Crocs with no socks.
It hurts my feelings. Every
fucking
time.
Monster.
Roethlisberger won a championship and he lost it in the championship. So he's 1-1 in the Super Bowl. They don't care what you do as long as you win. Kaepernick wasn't winning because his team was shit. That wasn't his fault.
Mm-mm. But y'all say Kaepernick ain't shit. Okay.
They don't.
No,
Kaepernick
they
you could
you, he
literally.
He got a whole new coach.
Ray Rice slapped his fucking girl in the face. And the only reason they didn't re-sign that man is because of the video. Had there not been video, there's a guy that plays for Cleveland right now who
is
beat
Ray
up a
Rice, did he ever get another job?
Never came back.
Hence my point is it's about PR. And this subject,
it's about black. When you black and you fuck up, you hardly get a second chance. Let's be honest. When you white and
when
you fuck up.
When it comes to quarterbacks,
when you white and you fuck up.
But there are a bunch of black dudes who fuck up, but on defense, like if you can sack the quarterback like that guy for
Ray Harrison.
Because they see quarterbacks as a white position. Quarterbacks is
a white
leading position.
They don't give black quarterbacks second chance.
No, Michael Vick. No. back. Mike, they had to damn near suck people dick to get Michael Vick back in. They really did. And then y'all want to say, oh, it's all about the dogs. It's all about, come on, y'all. Y'all, a lot of motherfuckers make mistakes. A lot of motherfuckers make mistakes. I don't think Kaepernick kneeling was a mistake. I think it was his fucking right. But you know what? Some white America don't like when you fucking exercise your rights. They don't want to see, well, why he got to do it on the clock? Bitch, you, look, you, that's what that get me. Why he got to do it on the clock while he at work? How many times have you taken your stinking ass to the break room and bit your sandwich while you was still on clock?
I think it's
that's eating without your lunch break.
First of all, you do it on the biggest platform available.
Yes.
That's like the point of a protest.
Like if a protest was like timed, it wouldn't be a protest, baby. That's just work.
Everybody who has an issue with something, you, in order for your issue to be heard, you want as many eyes and ears as possible. So while he's at work on the biggest fucking sports stage in the country, football is the number one sport in the country. Mm-hmm. He took a knee to draw attention to his issue. Now, if you wanted to listen to what his issue was so that he could stop kneeling, nobody did that. Y'all are all just mad at the fact, oh, he's doing it. Oh, why is he kneeling? Because of police brutality. That was the issue that you should have addressed. Instead, you focused on him taking a knee during a fucking song. That's not necessary because we all know we're American.
Didn't,
and that song does not slap. They need to get Gucci Mane on the track. I don't want to hear it.
All right.
If I can't clap my booty cheeks to, it's not for me. I ain't got no butt.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong about this, but didn't he sit on the bench first because he was benched?
Yes,
and then
he
got asked why he was sitting on the bench during the national anthem, and he was like,
I didn't hear that.
Oh, shit. Police brutality.
He wasn't sitting on the bench because he was benched. He was just sitting because he was sitting.
Okay.
And then he talked to, he got a letter from that, I think Nick Foyer is his name.
It was a soldier.
His Green Beret was like, you should kneel.
Yeah.
And then he started kneeling. Mm-hmm. And so, look.
For it to be more respectful. Yeah. So he obviously takes criticism and he changed for that.
He was open to listening.
Yeah, open to listening.
Because he didn't want to, it wasn't his intention to be disrespectful to the flag or to soldiers. Or any of that nonsense that people make up.
No, Trump made it about the soldiers because that's propaganda's
of
bullshit.
Course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything, you know what kills me about this country? You know, we all say this bullshit about how much we love the flag. But let's be honest. We the flag do represent our country. Every country have a fucking flag. Every country.
Okay.
And literally, do we make our flags here? They come from China.
Yes.
Where?
Some are made in China, but they're like if you buy Valley Forge flags, they're made in I think Virginia.
I've never seen a nigga with a Valley Forge flag.
Aren't they more expensive?
Yeah.
Yes. So no, I've never seen a person with a Valley Forge flag. Me and be honest with you, if I was out shopping and I was buying a flag,
you would get the one from China.
The China joint.
It's cheaper.
China joint slap just as hard.
Huh?
The China joint slapped just as hard. It's just the same thing. Well, I got to spend extra money.
I
don't understand.
Ma'am, Valley Forge flags have premium stitching. Okay? That's
premium
the difference.
Stitching?
None of that.
Well, I don't understand why would people say that he was disrespecting all flag or all soldiers when that's what our soldiers go out and fight for, which is for us to have rights in this country.
I'll tell you why. Because there's a certain portion of the population who couldn't protest being black or blackness. And so the president, aka those people, made it about patriotism.
Yeah,
because they couldn't say what they wanted to say.
What
he was an uppity nigger.
Nigger don't
get
kneel.
In your place.
Nigger don't kneel while I'm watching my football game. Right. Let's keep it real. That's what it was. Y'all through banging?
I didn't even notice it.
What is it? So they didn't want to say nigger don't kneel.
Yeah,
nigger don't do this while I'm watching TV. I mean, people
shut
kill
up
me
and
in this
shut
country.
Up and dribble.
Shut up and dribble. That's kill. You know that is the most racist shit. You know, me and Dion was sitting at a bar when we was in Memphis, right? We was watching a football game. So I started talking to this guy, and I could tell he looked like you a little bit, Chris, but he was very uncomfortable with me, and I knew he was uncomfortable. That's
so
why
2017,
I sat next
Chris.
To him. he was very uncomfortable with me, so we sat down and we started talking. He had a friend that had a little bit more sense than he did.
Mm-hmm.
So this dude, I don't want to call him racist. I want to call him fucking stupid. So we started talking.
He's probably prejudiced.
Prejudice. Okay, I take
because he probably doesn't have hate in his heart for people of color, but he just doesn't know any better.
He don't know any better. I say that because I didn't, you know, he did talk to me. So we started talking and what came up? LeBron James.
Yeah.
And so tell the story, Dion, because I don't know what LeBron said.
So LeBron, did you hear about the China thing? Daryl Morey, the Houston GM, tweeted about China's labor and they're fighting for democracy in Hong Kong. And LeBron James said something that along the lines of Daryl Morey didn't know what he was talking about. And
he took the corporate line.
Yeah, basically because China makes, the NBA makes a lot of money in China.
Okay.
And the players were in China when Daryl Morey tweeted this, and Chinese government got pissed off about it, and they stopped airing the games. And I think it's something to do with the player's safety. Like, they kind of like were like, yo, if you don't come back and retract this statement, we're not going to have security for you. Like, it was a big fucking deal. So
I didn't even hear about it. That's how much I stopped looking at the fucking thing. So anyway, so the guy was like, well, if LeBron's, it was all about, you know, he should have stood up. He said something wrong. What did the guy say?
He said that LeBron should have stood up for the people of China and
democracy.
Fought for democracy.
Fought for democracy. And then he went on to say, and so I'm just listening to him because I hadn't heard about the story or shit. So he's like, and if LeBron's really cared about the USA, he would tell, this is exactly what he said, he would tell Nike to bring his shoes out of China and make them in Akron, Ohio. And that's what pissed me off. I said, hold on, nigga.
Why
he
say that?
Huh?
I said, she did say that.
He was white. I said, hold on, nigga. Why this nigga got to bring his shit back when you ain't told Tommy Hilfiger, Polo, motherfucking Stella McCartney, all the Louis Vuitton, Gucci, all of these motherfuckers. Oh, but you want LeBron James to tell Nike to bring his shoe to Akron, Ohio? I said, you fucking stupid. I said, are you fucking for real? I said, you saying that shit because LeBron black. I said, if you felt that way, why the fuck you ain't never wrote Tommy Hilfiger? His shit been getting made over there. I said, even your lovely president, bitch, Trump shit say made in China, Ivana Trump, Kiki Trump, Negro Trump, all them Trump shit made over there.
Negro Trump is the black cousin from Mexico. He's a...
I don't give a fuck. Everything made in China. So I said, how you going to get mad at LeBron and say he don't love the United States? I said, who the fuck he supposed to be when you got 9 million white designers over there? What the fuck do we buy black? Jordan, LeBron James, who else?
Kobe,
who else? I don't know no motherfucking black designer clothes. Kanye West, but who the fuck wearing that Jesus slipper shit?
Yeah, I don't know anybody wears Kanye clothing.
Well, really, that's just too fucking expensive. But come on. I'm like, are you really saying that this man don't love the United States and bring his shit home when you got everybody? He just looked at me.
Well, it's the hypocritical content. They tell you one thing, but then they don't do it themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I said,
we're held to a higher standard of bullshit to where if we do what they do, we're the problem.
Yeah.
And I just don't
understand
that. Do you
get that, Chris? Because you're looking a little confused and white over there.
No, I'm just thinking. Politics destroys everything. Like, when you introduce politics to something, you know, and we've seen that in this podcast, for instance. Like, this is going to be a divisive episode.
Who gives a fuck what people think? That's the whole part of having these conversations. If everything's smooth, then you don't get no pussy.
Would you let me finish?
Oh, okay.
Well, my point is that, you know, LeBron wading into that was a complete loss for him for no reason whatsoever. He didn't have to have an opinion on it. You're better off at a certain point just saying nothing. And don't you look at this and go, the owners have hundreds of people that their bottom line, like the NFL owners have hundreds of people on their payroll. And if they bring on one person who then threatens the overall business, then they're going to, people are going to go out of business eventually.
Okay.
So hold on.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's the Colin Kaepernick overall topic. And so if you bring on Colin Kaepernick, not only is your on-field product probably going to get worse because the media is going to be such a distraction with all the different players. You're going to get fans, it's going to be divisive, which is the real problem. And then you've got somebody who shows up to their workout intentionally being provocative, saying, not only am I not going, when I come on your roster, I'm going to continue to be divisive and be divisive. Like, okay.
Wait a minute. Well, I don't even like the word divisive, first of all, because it's an old uppity-ass white word. Just say upset. Don't divisive mean upset?
Yes.
Okay, just say upset.
Just people are going to be pissed off.
Okay, people.
Wouldn't you
so
rather have somebody...
who gives a fuck? And they'll get over it. Who gives a fuck? They'll get over it.
But
first of all, you talking about divisive, and he's going to be... You don't even know. They didn't ask Kaepernick if he was going to still kneel.
Yes, they did, and he said no, he would not kneel.
Okay, so where's the divisive at then?
just
people have already people have already made up their minds, and this is the problem.
If the NFL
had it came out in the beginning, said we're not going to hire you because you're a distraction, he would have had no leg to stand on. But they didn't say that. The first thing they said was, "Is he's not good enough to play?" And that's where they fucked up.
That's what because that's
he
why
is good
sued.
Enough to play. He's clearly good enough to play.
Because he's better than a lot of people that are playing right now. But that's not the first thing they said. The
Baker
first thing they said was, "Is he's not good enough to play?" And then they hired all these people who Kaepernick's last year was pretty bad, but it's still better than some of the people who were playing this year. Right. And so you can't say that he's not good enough to play. Like you, that's not something you can quantify. Like, right. So you could have just said, I don't want this distraction around my locker room. And he would have no leg to stand on because he is a distraction.
Right.
The kneeling stuff, the Kunta Kinte stuff, you don't have to like it. It's distraction. Reporters are going to ask questions about it. So
let me ask you this. So if some other black player showed up with a Kunta Kinte shirt, they got to answer a question?
People would ask about it, yes.
Why? It's a fucking shirt.
Because that's the way the world works.
It's just how media is.
If a white player showed up with a Confederate flag on, they would ask him, why are you wearing that?
Okay, you're right. So what about the whole Steeler fight with the Cleveland Brown fan?
So
the man who got hit in the head.
Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett accused Mason Rudolph of dropping a racial slur during their altercation.
Do you believe that?
Personally, probably, yeah. Mason Rudolph looks like the type of dude who says the N-word all the time.
The motherfucking thing. Chris looked like he raped bitches in time. He looked like an Uber raper, but he's not. No, so you can't put that on people. No. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the white boy said it. I don't give a fuck what he looked like. Let me tell you why I don't believe he's called him a racial slur. Because had he called him a racial slur, he would have said it that night. He waited after he was handed that motherfucking big ass suspension he would hand and say, well, he started a fight. Anyway, how you want to kill a white person? Say they said something racial. That will fuck your career up. You know that. Look at that shit they did with the Patriots quarterback when he was talking to Ed Reed. Remember we was looking at that? Tom Brady called Ed Reed a nigga. And I said to myself, now, I don't know Tom Brady, but I can tell that man wouldn't say no shit like that, especially not on camera.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I mean, it ain't even about the look. It's just about
He's
the characteristic.
Smart enough to know better. Yeah.
It's about the characteristic of that person. So I went and watched the video because I ain't going to lie to y'all. I was hoping he called him a nigga so he can career be over and somebody else can win the Super Bowl. That's the only reason. I ain't give a fuck if he was frying niggas in his basement. I was just hoping finally we got his ass on something.
That's how he stays so young, you know.
Frying niggas in the basement.
Yeah, frying niggas in the basement. But honestly, he did not say that. Do I believe that white foot, that quarterback, I don't believe he said that. I really do.
You know
not.
How...
Because if he would have said that, he would have said that shit that night. What's wrong? Oh, he would have said that shit that night. That night that fight broke out, that motherfucking, that night, the day he waited. Ain't nobody going, you ain't going to let no white man get away with no N-word. No, not only you hit him like he said, nigga, but you didn't react like he said, nigga.
You know how few times that word is ever said? I've heard that almost
at my house.
Yeah.
The first time I heard it was that I was in third grade the first time.
Hey, no, I'm just saying like,
hi.
What's your name?
That's my grandson.
For people under 40, you just don't say it. Like it's just,
I hear it at work all the time.
We got to take a break and we're going to come back and I'm going to tell you why they say it. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you are completely underestimating how often it's said.
Yeah. So we back from the break, and Chris saying it's only a few times that the N-word is dropped. Boy, you have lost your motherfucking mind.
White people, if especially under 40, if they are going to say the word, like if they're telling a joke, they look around to make sure you guys aren't there. Like, I just don't, the idea that this quarterback would like drop
now,
the N-word.
I'm telling you who works around a lot of white people, they say it all the time.
In what
white
context?
People say the N-word. They say nigga, they say nigger, they say them both. Like it's not a big deal.
Are you shitting me?
Yes, and I have to be like, yo, you're not finna be dropping that N-bomb. I hear it all the time.
Harrison.
You hear it, Harrison? Do you hear the N-word? I do, but I
don't. Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck have you been?
Not around people who say the N-word.
You have a corporate job. Though.
So you work at the comedy club. Do they say it up there?
I think this weekend a guy did a set where he danced around the word.
When's the last time you heard a hard R?
No, I'm talking about like the employees that you, people that you work around. Do they say nigger? Nigga? Nigga way?
No, not so much here. Down in Evansville where I'm from, I hear a lot more.
Yeah.
So is it, are they rapping it or they just calling it?
You should come talking to the microphone.
Kid?
Why are we, what
are they do? Calling each other?
Come
huh?
here.
Do they call each other the N-word?
I'm saying white people saying it the word, not like Miss Pat and Dion talking to each other, Harrison.
So you saying white people say the N-word?
Yeah. I mean, on like
in casual conversation, like it's not a big deal. It happens all the fucking time.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, especially from my hometown. I think people think
they
that
call it,
all the fucking time.
All the white
time.
People nigga?
Yes.
Or they
yeah.
calling black people nigga?
They call black people nigga. They call yeah. white people nigga all the fucking time.
So I
what?
Was working. I was working at Taco Bell here in Plainfield when I first moved here. Nobody knew I had a job.
You really?
Yeah, I was there for 2 years. Nobody knew it but to Dion. So I was trying to get back on my feet, you know, and now going and do comedy every night. I worked there for 2 years. I was a manager. So make a long story short, I'm in working the drive through at nighttime, and this white girl come through on the phone, and she's talking to her boyfriend. And she said, nigga, what the fuck you want from Taco Bell? And she looked up, and it was me. Her fucking face looked like somebody sucked the air out her face. And I looked at her and said, what that nigga say he want? She was so, I don't know if she had black babies or she just thought she was black, but she was fucking, the air literally
it
left her fucking face.
All the time.
The only time I've heard it in probably the last 5 years was in front of Miss Pat, someone said it to her and she went, mm-mm, nope, don't say that. And I was like, the audacity.
Yeah.
What was we at?
Marion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who?
The person felt
Elks Lodge.
The person didn't mean it in a harmful way. It was because
he was drunk.
You had done that bit where you do this fantastic bit. I won't spoil it. And he felt comfortable that he could say it. Like, you know, we're
and
friendly.
I was like, don't do that. Don't do that.
No.
But you know, and I will also say when they say it like that, I don't look at them as being racist. I just think I think he was a fan and he wouldn't repeat a joke. So
I don't understand why if you're. I just don't get why people say it that know they shouldn't be saying it. Like, we can argue who can and who can't say it all day long. My point is if you don't feel like it's a word you can get away with saying, why would you say it?
And I gotta say, it's for some reason we can say it all day, but I think it's just through our ancestors we feel it when you say it. It's yeah. like a hurt. It's like if you call it, when you say nigger. To us, no matter how you say it, it feel like cunt to a white woman.
I just wouldn't say it. I said.
I'm trying to give you the feel. What I can know. I say to make your dick draw up and feel bad?
That. Oh, your little drawn up
what
dick.
I
think for men, anything emasculating is definitely like if you want to really tear a man down, emasculate him. Like you have a tiny dick, or
well, that's what it feel like. That's what it feel like. It's even more hateful because it's almost like a stab in the chest. That's why black people react to it, and that is the only word you can literally say. Because you can call a black woman a bitch and get your face slapped. But you say, nigga, everybody coming out the house. The kids, the roaches, the fucking, the tax man, everybody coming out to whoop your motherfucking ass.
Yeah.
It is such a hurtful word.
Yeah.
It is, even if you just casually saying it, we still feel it. And I don't know why.
I said it one time just to say it, and I felt so dirty. Like, it just, it's, I don't, I
who did you say it to, in the mirror?
Pretty much, yeah. To a friend. I was like, let me try this out. And he laughed because he was like, I can't believe you just said that. I go, I will never say that again.
It's just not worth it.
It's just
not worth it.
It isn't.
That word is not worth saying to anybody. It's not worth it. If you're definitely if you're not a nigga. Like,
well, we not niggas. It's just a word. I'm not a nigga.
I'm saying.
What do nigga mean?
It means
stupid.
Niggas can be anybody.
Harrison, you want to take this one?
Niggas can be anybody. Niggas is just people who don't, you know, who don't act civilized, cultured, whatever you.
What'd you say?
Disrespect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just disrespectful
that's
people.
That's the surgery man again. Huh? No, you shouldn't do that. And like, I remember I was out here in Plainfield one time. And I'm on my way to my granddaughter graduation. You remember this, DM? And so I go around this man on a Harley motorcycle. And literally, y'all, this dude drove up because I went around him. You on your phone, Chris.
I know.
Because I went around him and he pulled up on the side of me. And we had just bought my husband's truck.
Oh, yeah.
And spit on the truck. It was unfucking believable. I could not believe. In that 2 seconds, had I react wrong, both of our lives could have been changed forever.
Yeah.
Because he probably would have shot me, but I had that big ass truck I was in. And my crazy bitch in me, Rabbit, said, run that crack over. And I was like, good person in me said, your check on the way from Fox. You might not want to run him over. And I wanted to fucking, and I was like, I opened the door and I was like, I can't believe you did this. So I called the police. And then when I'm following him to get his tag number, he pull out a gun.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I called the police on him.
That's the thing. Like, saying words like the N word, the F word, like, you don't know how somebody else is going to react. Or, you know, I just
well,
heard
people
about.
People said to get a reaction out of you, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, to me, why would you intentionally ever want to hurt somebody?
Because some people just don't care about other people. Some people are racist. Some people are assholes. Some people are dickhead. Some people, and that's all colors, race, and everything. Some people are just evil motherfuckers. Some people wants to kill somebody that day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you just don't know what fool walks out of his door that day. You know, motherfucker get in front. I saw a thing where a man literally pulled up next to this woman in Texas and called her the N-word. And she was like, what did I do to you? I just want to tell you a motherfucking nigga. And the expression on his face was like, he had been waiting to say that for 30
and
years.
And it cost him his job.
It cost him his job, his livelihood, every fucking thing. Even a guy in Kentucky, remember the guy in Kentucky? He owned an air conditioning company. And he got to arguing with somebody. He called him a nigga. He followed him to their house and called him a nigga in their driveway.
This
is how stupid people, racist people are. They'll literally do something in their uniform. They'll literally do something where you can see their whole fucking face.
With a how's my driving phone number on the back.
Literally.
Well, that guy, didn't he own the company?
That guy owned the air conditioning company and it took him out of business.
Yeah. Wow.
Because then you think about how many people.
He went viral.
You think about this. How many people have you been in where you really hate them for the color of their skin, but you want them to spend their money? And as a black person, you really don't want to think like that. You don't.
Yeah.
You really don't want to think like that. Am I giving this racist my fucking money?
But it's a question you have to ask yourself. And I think that's a thing that white people don't understand about being black in this country, where everything is not designed for you. It's a constant. Is this person being racist? Is this racist? And it's not, having to ask yourself that question will literally drive you insane.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, why are these niggas angry all the time? It's like, because I'm not fucking sure.
That's
like,
why
to walk through life and not be sure will drive you insane.
That's why the Kaepernick thing never bothered me. Like, we make such a big display of militarism, but then you have, you know, through the anthem and all that stuff, like, it's the same sort of statement in my mind as police shouldn't kill black people at a higher rate. Like, if we're going to use that stage to push social and political messages, then why are you mad that the black segment of our society is using that platform? It's just
because they don't want to hear about black.
Because they don't want it in their face.
They don't want it in their face. You know, when I tell you, one time I performed, y'all, and we didn't mean to get so political with this podcast, but one time I performed and I'm talking on stage about how I grew up, and this young guy, he looked like, I don't remember his name. I think he was he came out to see me at a show. And I was talking about how fucked up, you know, school lunch is, and how they want to say black kids are not educated. Well, black kids are not educated because most of their curriculum are 5 years behind white school system. Like, they keep circling the same books in fucking schools, black schools, but white kids get a new curriculum damn near every year. I live in an all-white neighborhood, y'all, and my white kids get a new fucking curriculum. I have fifth graders that damn near doing algebra. Right. I didn't do in a black school. You probably don't get algebra till the eighth grade back in the day. I don't know what it is now, but so he hit me up and he said, I had no fucking clue that this was going on in the black community, but it is.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, I don't want to say it's oppression, but that's what they do. They don't want,
funding is through property tax.
Well, yeah, the funding is through property tax. Then you get people who steal the shit, and then you get the people where
it's a system. It's a systemic problem of how schools get funded versus gerrymandering districts versus redlining. It's a system to keep things not equal.
Yeah, It is to keep, and to be honest with you, I truly believe is to keep white America so they don't have to compete with black America. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I mean, honestly, because I tell you this all the time, Chris, when I live out here in this nice ass neighborhood, and then you look at the school system, Nakiel and Ashley was not educated like Garyana and Junebug. Right. The shit that went on out here, man, I ain't even talk about motherfucking the school system. When they first got here, the spoon was turned to their side. They could fix their own food. That shit blew me the fuck away. And they got my kids so fucking fat that I said, if you don't fix their fucking tray, because they're putting too many mashed potatoes on their fucking tray. I wrote in to say, oh, my kids cannot fix their own fucking food no more.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, at Plainfield, you could scoop your own food.
You could scoop your own food.
Where you went to school was, no, you don't get to scoop your own food.
Yeah, you don't
never let us scoop our own food.
No, but in Plainfield, when I got here, they were scooping your own food.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck do this do? I learned so much about white America, about living in. It opened my eyes to white America.
Because
you think one way growing up. Like, I used to have this bit or this story I used to tell my mama, say, white people are better than you. And it made me scared of white people my whole life till I moved here. Remember, Dion? Mm-hmm. And I one night I go to the comedy club, and all of these white people like me from the Bob and Tom show. And I tell my husband, why do white people like me? And he was like, Pat, what are you talking about? I said, my mama say they better than us. And he was like, your fucking mama is stupid. We all the same. And that was such an eye opener for me, because when I moved here, I was so fucking scared of white people.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought all white people's life was so fucking easy. When I learn, we all have similar fucking lives. We all, a lot of middle class people struggle to pay their fucking bill. The only thing different in their house is they might have a whole carrot and I might have a fucking frozen carrot. That might be a fucking
thing. Well, have you ever seen Trump, the Trump supporter played by Tom Hanks on Saturday Night Live on Black Jeopardy? And the Trump supporter gets all the questions right on Black Jeopardy? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, what I've seen when you come on Bob and Tom is, you know, that audience is I'm not going to say lower income white, but it's definitely rural America white folks. And you connect with them so well. And I don't think that the cultures are all that much different.
They're
it's
not.
Just that once you interact with each other, you realize, wow, we do have a lot in common, and I do like these people, and they like me, and we can get along. And, it's,
and you know, I was saying that the other night. We was in, where we just left from?
Springfield.
So I always say, because I have the weirdest audience makeup, y'all. You might come and I can pick out the Joe Rogan people. I can pick out the Breakfast Club people, the Bob and Tom. So you had these old ass white people there. I'm lying, Dion. Nope. And I knew they was from Bob and Tom. Then you had these young buff white people. Then you could tell the ones who get high. It was just a different mixture of white people. Then you had this few black people that was sprinkled in, and they all was there to see me, and they all could fucking relate.
Yeah.
And you know, like I tell people all the time, this crazy part about some of my fans, they're very conservative, but they love me. Because I never try to take who you are from you. I mean, I try to respect you. Even though, you know, we think Trump ain't doing such a good job. But hell, how many Democrats in there have not done a good job either? So I've learned to go down the line. That's what I've learned. I mean, I learned to respect who you are for your vote. I don't hate my Dennis for voting for Trump. That's his fucking right. I ask you not to do it again. Please vote for Mitt Romney.
And you guys tell me if this is racist or not, but I will say that this...
Fuck hell is racist.
I was going to say, she beat me to it. Here it comes.
I found myself at an event about 2 months ago, and I was interacting with... I was interacting with a couple black people that I just didn't know at all. And I was so much more comfortable talking to them because of this experience and this podcast than I would have been a year ago, where I would have been nervous. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I was treating them differently because I didn't want to appear racist, but I didn't know, like, what this has done for me and my friendship with you and my friendship with Dion and Garyana has taught me, like, stop being so fucking afraid all the time.
Because that's what society teach white people to be. We're angry, we're mean, we're uneducated, we're poor. Whatever society teaches you about black America. And society have taught us that white America hate us, and y'all got it all, and y'all don't have no fucking problem. Which is not true. I live in a white community where all these kids be stealing in the cars, and these motherfucking kids are on dope. They got the same problem they got in the hood. The only difference is they can't rap and dance.
I think what I think what you learned is you see us as people, as black people.
As just people.
Like, I think that's the biggest issue that we still have yet to break down is the fact that you can feel comfortable talking to a black person knowing that they're black and knowing what that means,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to just seeing, oh, that's a black person. I don't want to offend them. Like, no, I understand that they come from a different place, but it's okay.
It was a discomfort with the culture.
Exactly.
I don't know your culture.
Right.
And that's the, what
you learning in Nugle.
But that's what Dion has said so often is like, I know your culture inside and out. Why don't you know mine?
You have no incentive to learn our culture.
Right.
Because you don't get it anywhere unless you make an effort to go and find it.
Right.
That's what my biggest pet peeve with white America is they don't take the initiative to learn black culture.
You don't give a fuck about black history.
Because
You don't have to give a fuck. Don't leave yet, baby. You don't have to give a fuck about black history. So don't leave yet, Kier. Okay? Huh? Okay, you don't have to give a fuck about black history. So black history is a big deal to us. It's not a big deal to white America. Because a lot of shit we had to create for our own, our ancestors had to create for our own fucking people. But I like Garyana had a friend who did black studies. What was her name? Who I did the interview for, Garyana?
Wow.
She read my book and I drove down to the school.
Oh, she was in a black photography class, so...
No, that's not what I...
Yes, it was.
Why did she interview me? Because she read my book.
Yeah, she was... Yeah, but she... Yeah.
So she... This so white she girl you. Who went to school with Gary on at this all-white high school, she read my book, and she wanted to do something different. She asked Gary on, can I please interview your mama? And she said to me, she said... She read my book, and she said, I had no fucking clue.
Yeah. That's how I felt,
black
too.
Black America.
Yeah.
And she said, I didn't know you guys live like this. So I didn't know anything about black America. She said, my mama wouldn't have never let me read this book. And I was like, what? So I drove down. What school did she go to?
DePauw.
I drove down to DePauw so she could interview me after she read the book and so she could take pictures and shit. But the little girl damn near talked me to death about black America. She's like, after this, I'm going to take a black history class. She said, because they don't teach us anything.
Not a fucking thing.
Anything. She said, nobody ever told me this and I'm 20 now.
I learned about Harriet Tubman. I learned about
the soft shit.
Yeah, exactly right.
The soft shit.
They make it so that you can appear not racist. And it's not whether you're racist or not. It's not about that. It's just educating yourself on your neighbor. Like, we're all neighbors. We all live in the same country together. But y'all live on one side of the street, and you never, for any reason, have to come to our side of the street.
And we're never really uncomfortable with you guys.
Because we're born into your world. You're not born into our world. We're born into your world.
Y'all, for some reason, Dion love talking about motherfucking race. This is his shit right
here. You brought up the Kaepernick thing.
I wish you wouldn't have worn sweatpants. I've seen your boner the entire episode. It's really...
Not a boner, Chris.
Can you kids go to your...
That's room? What it looks like, flaccid, Chris.
Well, I say dick in front of him. Not gonna fucking boner.
I'm just saying six-year-old's looking at my
eyes.
You know,
just go and read up and go and try to learn about other people than somebody that look like you. And I tell people that all the time. I talk to my Trump supporting Dennis because he's interesting to me. I want to know why he feel the way he feel. And then I try to explain to him why I feel the way I feel. And I think we kind of meet it down the middle. Don't go to what we need you for this gerrymander thing.
No, I think that's an important point. It's not just about skin color, especially now. It's about, are you willing to go and talk to the Starbucks drinking Prius driving liberal neighbor when you're the gun-toting conservative Christian neighbor?
No, people not, because people don't like to talk to people who they disagree with.
But they should. And I give credit to you for putting me on this podcast. And really, when it started, it was just you and me, and then thankfully you brought Dion on.
You wasn't doing good by yourself.
She ain't had to say that. That was
I'm just
up.
Bullshit.
That's some nigga shit right there.
You know what? I have a strong urge to say a hard R right now.
Now, don't do it, nigga.
Because it speaks to you really wanting to bring people together, because you didn't have to put a Christian libertarian white kid who doesn't know anything about black culture and have to interact with that person on a daily basis almost, because she calls every day, Dion.
Of course.
I mean, and you know, and people have said to me, like, how do you feel comfortable going on and saying these things? It's like, Miss Pat's my friend.
And that's what it's all about. When you, and I'm the type of person, when you my friend, I grow to care about you. I love my friend because I ain't really had no fucking family. So you start off as a friend and you end up as a family member. Next thing you know, Chris will be over here taking a shower and I'll be like, hey, go in there and rub Chris' feet, Gary Allen. But I mean, that's what it
should be. All of a sudden,
the
workers in the back left. Yeah, they're like, yeah. I don't want to be friends.
That's what it's all about. It's all about people just getting to know people.
Yeah, you gotta learn what you don't know.
You gotta try shit. It's like, if you don't try shit, you ain't gonna never learn shit.
And I don't think that you should have the attitude of, I think if you're a person who, I'll just say, if you're a black person, Dion could have said, no, fuck you, you need to learn my culture. No, Dion has taken the time to be open and honest and become a great friend.
And I had to learn that,
and
though.
And it was a fucking uncomfortable thing for all three of us at the beginning.
Not me, but I was going to bring you two the niggas together. But I wanted y'all to fuck, but it wasn't going to work out.
But I think...
Fuck.
What the
fuck are you talking about?
Hell?
This is my last episode.
Yeah, over here. I am embracing of different lifestyles.
I hope Atlanta never wins again, motherfucker.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
But I think for both of us, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It's uncomfortable to get out of your comfort zone and talk to people who are different.
And you should. Yeah. I do it every day when I'm on a plane. I love talking to people that don't look like me. And I love talking to people that do look like me. I just want to see what's on your mind. So together we can... I was talking to this lady and she was telling me, we was talking about the president, this white lady on the plane on Delta the other day, and I didn't know how she voted, and I didn't really fucking care. We just had a conversation, and she ended up, you know, being a libertarian. I mean she ended up being a Democrat, I'm sorry.
Damn.
But we were just casually talking.
Right.
I could see people ears go up.
Yeah.
About the conversation, like, oh my gosh, she having this conversation with a white woman. Fuck yeah. You should ask questions that you don't know. Miss Troop told me the dumbest question is a question not asked.
Yeah.
So if you're curious about something, about a group of people, ask the fucking question. You're not racist. You want to learn. Yeah.
Okay. Let me throw in a caveat there. Make sure you ask the right person. You don't want to ask the wrong person the right question, because them niggas won't know how to handle it, and then you'll be right back where you started.
Yeah, if somebody's
there, a process for doing things the proper way.
I'm just going to give advice to my black friends.
Just ask me and Dion.
If you're wearing a Kunta Kinte t-shirt, I'm not asking you about police brutality.
No, don't ask. You don't want to ask too many or any black people about police brutality, especially not Gary Allen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's police brutality is a fucking... It's a race issue, but it's not a race issue. Like, it happens to everybody. Like, police need to stop brutalizing people, regardless of what they look like.
It's a power issue, and it's also asking the police to do too much.
Well, black people get pissed off because it happens to us and nothing happens when they do it. White people get brutalized, and white people are just like, well, okay. Like, y'all don't get mad about it. If white people were like, yo, stop brutalizing us, the way black people were like, stop brutalizing us, the police would stop brutalizing
That's
people.
Starting to turn, though. I think...
white people finally getting tired of that.
Fuck yeah. When you see Sandra Bland or Philando Castile, you go, all right, this is fucked up. Like, when you see a lady get tased for a broken tail.
Like that cop, the I Know My Rights cop, who lost
that
his
was here in
job.
Indiana.
Here in Indianapolis.
Lawrence.
So he's a constable. He's not even a cop. A constable is a person...
And he was off-duty.
An off-duty constable. And here in Indiana, they're supposed to deliver notifications for the small claims court. And so this guy bought himself a Crown Victoria police car-looking thing. And he's this old 70-year-old guy, and he follows these two young black guys around a store.
Nordstrom, my favorite
fucking... Nordstrom Rack, yeah.
Yeah.
And so
his name was Daryl.
Yeah. The white guy's name is
Daryl.
And so this guy's like, they walk out and they turn on their cameras, which always record the police. And he starts harassing them, basically. And one of these guys starts,
I want to see your ID.
I want to see your ID. And they're like, for what? What are you going to do? And
he said, you look suspicious. What's suspicious? How I look suspicious? I don't know. You just look suspicious. Nigga, just say I'm black.
Right. And he knows he can't arrest them because he has no arrest powers. It's like, I'm going to call the police on you.
Yeah.
And they're like, go fucking ahead. Let's talk to your manager.
He's like, let me get your supervisor. I'm not calling my supervisor till you give me your ID. And it's like.
And then the piece there. Exactly.
Give me your ID. Give me your ID. Finally, he started begging and say, just give me your ID. Man, just give me your ID. He's like, I'm not giving you shit.
And finally, the cop goes, "I know my rights as a cop." What did he say? "I can basically do whatever I want. I'm a police officer."
Yeah.
And he got fired immediately because the guy who
It took him 2 hours to fire that.
As soon as he saw the tape, the sheriff's office fired.
Did he have a gun?
Well, the guy who was his boss was the former Marion County Democratic Party head, and he understood, and he's a great guy, and he immediately understood, like, this guy should have zero political power whatsoever. Like, and it just illustrated the mentality of that kind of person where, like, listen, police are often in an unwinnable situation, and I'm not ragging on all them, but there are a segment.
Some good cops.
There are a segment of the profession where they're obsessed with the power of it.
Some of them.
And this guy is exactly that person.
Yeah, and you did it to Harrison.
That's right. Well, he needs to learn his place.
What'd you do to Harrison?
Harrison needs to learn his place.
See, that's my point. You get a little bit of power, you start whooping niggas on the bottom rung underneath you, and that's the problem.
When you come up in broadcasting, you gotta treat the interns like the interns. When he does something...
Oh, no, everybody stars on this fucking show. You ain't gonna be ragging on Harrison. Harrison, how many holes you got?
How many holes you got, Harrison?
No. Holes or hoes?
Hoes, H-O-E, or...
Well, if you're interested in a good man who can shoot your vagina on a good camera, hit Harrison up. He's looking for somebody special. He like to take pictures of nappy grips and sway vagina.
I would see his face right now.
He is so red.
He redder than a Atlanta Falcons sweater.
Shut the fuck up.
He's allegedly got a lot of drugs.
Yeah, a lot of drugs. He like bitches with short feet.
What's a short foot?
Chris likes swollen feet. Yeah. Harrison likes short feet.
Yeah,
Harrison I like happy feet. This fat likes pig feet.
Harry, he like bitches with who feet smell like Cheetos. Do you suck toes, Harrison?
Harrison, are you a foot guy? You ever put a toe in your mouth? No.
One time, my friend wiped between her toes and just crust fell off. I thought a toe had fell off.
Crust of feet.
She had never washed in between her toes before.
Have you ate ass before?
Hell no.
Have you ate ass before?
No.
Has anybody ever ate your ass?
No.
Have you ever ate ass before?
Have you ever ate ass, motherfucker? You asking all the goddamn questions?
No.
Who ate your ass?
Nobody. I would never. See, I don't understand it. People eat ass nowadays.
You know
like
how
it's a thing.
You know how dirty your ass is. I know how dirty my ass
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Why would I let you, first of all?
It ain't dirty after you wash it, I don't think.
No.
The inside
not,
is.
Not true.
Well, who's sticking their tongue up an ass?
Everybody.
Have you seen porn? That's all they do is stick tongue up ass.
I don't watch porn. That is disgusting. Somebody need to call them people
more. Well, I'm saying there's people out there that like to eat ass, and one of the crack babies was like, "We should talk about ass eating." And I'm like,
"No.
Nah, it's gross. No. Don't do it. Stop eating ass. It's disgusting."
We kind of talked about it on the bonus episode in the Patreon this week. So you can check that out there. You can hear all about our opinion on ass eating.
I don't get it.
I bet Harrison, you do, don't you? You're an ass eater.
What?
Once? Ugh. Not fun, he says.
Well, you don't want to eat my ass because my cheeks make them fat and be them mothers.
Looks like mushrooms and gravy.
No, it just might. You might get stuck.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Why are people eating ass? It's a thing. It's a big thing.
Okay. Maybe for young people.
Definitely for young people. Like, but
no, that black pastor was eating ass.
Well, seeing, yeah. The
pastor, he was 70 years old.
I don't understand it. Like, if I was to eat ass, we would have to be together forever. Like, I'm just...
Nope.
Why? Because you don't want to tell nobody else you ate ass?
Exactly.
I don't think grown people scream out and say, "You eat my ass." It's the
well,
type of
I'm not willing to take
with.
That chance.
Nope. That's where coli, salmonella, no. And I'm not putting...
you can get salmonella from eating ass?
Yes. That's why you get...
Ain't no chicken
that's how you
back
get pink
there.
Eye.
Yep.
Ain't no chicken back there in the ass.
Yeah.
There's bacteria.
That's
there.
Why they have to recall all this lettuce, because the field workers shit on the lettuce. And it's from their poop. So the poop in the goes in the butt. Biology on the pat down here, right?
Yep.
They recalling lettuce called Mexican shit no lettuce?
Yep.
Ain't no Mexican shit no motherfucker.
That's why they have. That's why their coli is all over in this.
Why would they shit out there in the field and not go to the bathroom?
Because they don't have a bathroom.
Why wouldn't you have a bathroom?
Because when you're illegal, there's no OSHA laws.
Yeah. They don't do anything to protect those workers.
No.
They give no
they're
fucks.
Fucked.
You are paid by the amount that you pick.
You do what I want or else I'll call.
And I'll get somebody else to replace you.
So what do these people stay at?
They usually have houses or they rent houses. They have documentation that they have a cousin rent their apartment for them or something like that.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. It'll
be a whole nother episode if we got into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
that is so fucked.
This is already going to have to be a two-parter. It's an hour long.
Oh, it can be just one. We can give them good shit sometime.
All right.
Well, we talked about a lot of good shit today, y'all. We truly appreciate y'all toning in. Kristen even turned red this time over this race episode. When we first started talking about race, he would have to go pray, eat cookies. He would turn pink. He would call me back. They got to think I'm racist. I want to let my people down. Tonight, he took it like a fucking champ.
If you go listen to the Patreon episodes, those long race discussions are in there. And I'm like, oh, look at this cutie. Hi, buddy. What's your name?
He said, my name is out of here and I'm gone.
If that kid says his name's Toby, I'm going to die.
Aminya.
Aminya.
I love how she cusses right in his face.
Tweeting.
Pop tart.
Oh, well, this is it, y'all. Thank you so very much.
She's been Miss Pat.
I've been Miss Pat. He been Rose O'Donnell and Whitney Houston. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of the Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at misspatcomedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.